Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And we do welcome you here to Hope is Alive, coming to you live this February 17th. And good evening, Chris.
Good evening. How are you?
Fantastic. Walking in the Spirit, abundantly blessed.
Is it already February 17th?
It is already February 17th, it is.
It seems like just last month was January.
Yeah, I bet it was. So, but good evening, and good evening, Mr. Cox.
Good evening, Richard and Chris. Great to be with you again. It's a beautiful day.
And, it is.
And Chris, I know you guys have a couple callers scheduled, so as usual, I'll be sitting here trying to be quiet, and when your callers call in, I'll sure let you know.
We sure will.
Okay.
Well, how would you like to open up with a word of prayer?
Well, sure. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us at the cross again. We just stand in awesome. We are standing unbelieving how much you did for us, Lord, at the cross, that you brought us life and life abundant. But again, we know we have an adversary, nevertheless, that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to block a Christian's life, to block the use of their gifts and their destinies and their ministries. But Lord, nevertheless, you have given us all power over the enemy, Luke 10:19, and the promise that nothing will harm us. So Lord, we do stand on your word. We stand on your word tonight, knowing that your word performs itself as we speak it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you commissioned us as believers to go forth in your name doing your same works. How awesome that is, Lord. So we accept this responsibility. We accept these commands going forth, setting the people free and seeing them healed. To you be the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, you know, we always read Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall anywise hurt you. Then Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And I thought this afternoon I would go ahead and read and study the next verses. And have you looked into Luke 10:21 much, Pastor?
No, I've got my Bible right here. I'll look it up.
Well, Luke 10:21, in the same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. And he's talking about the Lord. He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding, and didst reveal them unto babes. Father, for so it was well-pleasing in thy sight. Now, he said, I hid them from the understanding. And the King James says prudent. He said, I've hid these things from the wise, and I've hid them from the prudent, and I've revealed them to babes. And I think that's probably why you haven't gotten into this verse, and I haven't gotten into this verse much, because I've looked up those words. So God's hid them from those that are mentally put together, which is what the prudent means, and sagacious. And he has hid them from those, sagacious means acute of discernment, a sagacious mind. And he's revealed them unto babes, which means that is an infant, figuratively a simple-minded person. So
that sounds like me, Chris. I'm a rather simple-minded person, and I was a babe in Christ. I was born again when I was 13, but I was age 44 before this works of Jesus and the reality of what we're talking about tonight, and even of casting out of evil spirits and healing the sick directly in the name of Jesus. I was a babe in all that. And I just praise God again, somebody shared it with me, that I could have all this adventure now, these 38 years that I've been doing this. And it's just a beautiful thing that somebody shared. That'd be a lesson to all of us, you know, to share. Amen?
Amen. Well, the exciting part is it says, you know, the word babe. It says, I did reveal them unto babes. It's a simple-minded person, an immature Christian. And I saw that and I thought, you know, you can become a Christian today and you've got this all power over the enemy.
Yes.
Does it get any better than that?
Amen.
And, you know, one of the parts here, when it says sagacious, part of that word, when they compared it in Strong's, it says, in a bad sense, a conceited person. So this is one of those things that, you know, you humble yourself, you realize that you're simple-minded and an immature Christian, and then you go, Lord, you give me all this power. That's the humbling part.
Oh, very. And what a responsibility as well.
To look after our brethren. And then the next verses, Luke 10:22, all things have been delivered unto me of my Father, and no one knoweth who the Son is save the Father, and who the Father is save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son willeth to reveal. And turning to his disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see these things ye see. And this is immediately following Jesus, you know, talking about deliverance. Blessed are the eyes which see these things ye see. For I say unto you that many prophets and kings desired to see the things which you see and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear and heard them not.
Wow. Praise God. Well, it's an awesome thing to get hold of again. I certainly have been a babe in Christ, and I guess there was one advantage of that. I didn't have any particular doctrines that I had been taught. The church I went to all those years did not even take a Bible to church, the people. And it was more of a social kind of grouping as I look back. So I was really a babe, but something happened in my life. I lost a daughter, and the only place I got relief was through our Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and then I got introduced to the reality of casting out of evil spirits and where people's problems would be gone, and often in one evening of anger and rage and bitterness and fear and depression and all kinds of addictions. And that reality just blew me away, that even though that they could have evil spirits behind them. But as I learned that we have all power, as you just read, in Jesus' name, that we, every Christian, it's not a gift thing, normal Christianity, any Christian that learns these things can do it. As Jesus, he said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And certainly Jesus did all of these works. And it's just a humbling, amazing thing to me that God would entrust little us to speak in his name with the power behind it, to call directly to the angels to go forth to back us in warfare. It's an amazing thing to get hold of.
It is the perfect example of Romans. All things cometh to good of those that love him and serve him and are called according to his purpose. So you were called, although you probably didn't realize it yet, and the loss of your daughter and the pain that you were in moved a group of men to come and pray with you. And how many thousands have been blessed out of that tragedy in your life?
I look back on that, Chris, and in fact, in my book that I wrote, that it's out, it's available through Scriptures for America, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. But yeah, in the book, it's I describe all that and how that really every exorcism that takes place, every physical healing is a tribute to my daughter, because I don't think I'd ever gotten focused on this because of that tragedy. I had to reach out to Jesus. It was the only relief I could find. But it went to more. It led to all this. 38 years now of doing it. Amazing.
Well, if anyone would like to call in, the number is 307-745-5913, and we do have a couple of guests that are to call in this evening, but we'd love to hear your questions. We'd love to answer them for you. Love to hear any testimony that you have. So again, that's 307-745-5913. Would you share a little bit about the day that those men came to your house?
Well, yes. Several months had gone by of agony after losing my daughter. She was 18. And I, my friend of mine that was going to what's called a full gospel church here in Oklahoma City, he and I have been friends from the second grade up and best men in each other's weddings and hunted and fished together all these years. We still fish together quite a bit. Lynn Myers, Dr. Lynn Myers, pathologist. But he had been going to this church, and this full gospel church, that would be kind of a church, a definition, I guess, that, where it's a group or a church that reads the words, reads the commands of Jesus, and they actually do them. And that little church was my friend Dr. Myers had already had a healing with one of his kids. A disease that was terminal, but he was healed by the laying on of hands. And anyway, Dr. Myers suggested his pastors come over to pray with me. Well, I knew I needed something. Nothing had helped me thus far after 3 months. And so I said, well, sure, send them over. Well, they came over, and the first thing they said to me, what you need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I said to them, what's that? I'd never heard of that. Well, they opened the Bible and started showing me scriptures, and I can read, and it, after a while, it did look like there was another baptism beyond the water baptism. Jesus always baptized with the Holy Spirit, not water, but with the Holy Spirit. John did with water, of course. And They showed me in John 14 where the Holy Spirit, when he comes in his fullness, he is a comforter. And I told, well, they told me, they said, we think that this could help you. We'd like to pray with you on this. Well, I was ready for anything that would help. And they even explained it had to do with speaking in tongues. And I'd heard of that, and I thought that always sounded far out. But, you know, I heard so much, I was ready to try anything. And I told them, let's do this. Let's try this. Well, they took me through a prayer where I asked Jesus to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And as they had explained, I would need then to open my mouth. They were going to start speaking in tongues, and I would need to try to push out some kind of sounds or mumblings that I did not understand. And I thought it sounded strange, but I said, okay, I'll try this. Well, they took me through the prayer. They laid hands on me. They start speaking in tongues. And as instructed, I opened my mouth and tried to use my vocal cords to get something going. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit brought me an utterance that I didn't understand, of mumblings. And what was amazing about that very moment, the devastating pain and agony that was in the middle of me was suddenly pushed off to the side. And I just basked in that peace. And I didn't realize there was such a thing as this, that supernaturally I could have some peace. And it was pushed off to the side. And even after they left, I remember laying on the couch, speaking these mumblings some more, and just laying in that peace. And that was all I was looking for. But as you read in the scriptures, when the Holy Spirit comes in its fullness, a full measure of the Holy Spirit, well, he comes, it's a baptism for service. He comes with, to give us a boldness, which I suddenly discovered I had. As I went in to my mortgage office, I found I had an ability to witness that I'd never had. And I had a hunger for the Bible. I'd open it up and the scriptures would jump out at me. I never read the Bible up to that point because I was always busy doing other things, not bad things, just busy with the world. And it went from there because that little church was doing the casting out of evil spirits, exorcisms, and the laying on of hands. And so I finally even joined that church. And it went from there. And I sat in on more and more ministry. And then a day came where I actually did one. And much to my amazement, I helped the person. And then I did another one. And finally, I'm doing one almost every evening. And that's how I got into all this. And finally, I formed Deliverance Ministries Incorporated here in Oklahoma City in 1984 to get some help because I realized I couldn't do all this myself. So that's my story, Chris.
Well, you know, you say mumblings, but would you care to elaborate on that a little bit, that it's not really just mumblings? It may seem that way, but there's actually a purpose in it.
Yes, it's the tongues, just like I speak now. I can go for an hour like that, and I don't know what I'm saying, but I notice the anointing of the Holy Spirit rises and rises, and these gifts of the Holy Spirit tend to manifest in my life accordingly.
And you are, it's that spirit man crying out a prayer that you can't formulate. And I say that it's that perfect prayer. And the Apostle Paul said that I speak in tongues, and I pray in tongues more than any of you.
Yes, and even Jesus commanded us to speak in new tongues in Mark 16:17. So it's quite clear that we're to be doing it. I just had never focused on those scriptures before and didn't realize the practicality of it. But yes, Paul said that you'll edify yourself when you speak in tongues. It's like charging a battery. And that you're praying to God, not to man, which is like praying the prayer that needs to be prayed at the time. Well, those are nice assets in our Christian walk.
And one thing that the Holy Spirit does, and one thing that speaking in tongues does, is that it glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. When someone's delivered, the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. When someone is set free, when you're going before Him with the pure needs of what's going on, for what's going on in your life, Jesus Christ is glorified.
Amen. We do it in the name of Jesus, and His power goes forth as we speak. It's an awesome thing to discover that little us can help people like this and see these problems again disappear, often in one evening. I ministered to a lady today, by the way, that had heard the radio show. She's in Arizona. I spent 3.5 hours with her this afternoon. And she had some physical needs with back and her joints and a lot of stress and fear. And she was very withdrawn. And, boy, she yawned those spirits out. We got the usual good 36 spirits out. And, of course, she felt wonderful, like everybody, at the end of the ministry. It's very gratifying, again, to see that God will use little us to do this. Well, every Christian can do this. It's normal Christianity. And, of course, we were speaking directly to the problems. I was speaking in Jesus' name directly, casting these demons out. What's exciting to learn is that we don't go through the Father to do these things and healing. Rather, we speak directly, just as Jesus commanded us to do, like John 14:12 and Mark 16:17. And sure enough, we can speak directly, call on the angels directly, Hebrews 1:14, where the angels are to be of service to the heirs of salvation. That's us. And we get to the goal line. It took a few hours, but it's like most people, they've had a whole lifetime to get themselves kind of complicated. And it's amazing that in a few hours, we can unravel all that and get them a Jesus overhaul, and they can go forward in their life now using their God-given gifts and doing their destinies. And very gratifying, Chris.
Well, do you think that a lot of people's prayers aren't answered? You know, they're praying for these issues that are going on in their lives. They're praying for the tragedies and the torment that they're going through. But they're not exercising the power that the Lord Jesus gave them.
Absolutely. You know, God does, of course, answer prayer. But we find in casting out of evil spirits and physical healing that God gave us this power and commands to do it in His name. We actually have the power of attorney from our Jesus to do this in His name. And it took me a while to get hold of that, but when we do, amazing things happen, and it's very effective. We spent all those hours casting out demons. I was not doing it by praying to the Father in Jesus' name that the Father or Jesus do it. We were doing it directly. I was commanding these directly to come out, and she was yawning them out and feeling them in her body, and she had to even put the Bible on her body. It felt them. The demons move around, and you know, we always have to make it clear that Christians cannot be possessed, but we do have these three parts of us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 points out we have a body, we have a spirit, and then we have a soul, which would be the mind, will, emotions. Our spirit man, of course, is totally secure in Jesus as a born-again Christian, but the demons hang out in the body and the soul area, tormenting those areas.
Well, 1 Corinthians 12:8, for to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing in the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as He will.
Yes, now I don't figure that I have the gift of tongues. I have my prayer language, which of course is tongues, but as Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 14, about speaking out in an assembly, like in a church. Full gospel churches often, that church I attend does this. Someone will have a tongue for the assembly of the people in the church, and they'll speak out in a tongue, and then someone will interpret what we said. I don't seem to have those gifts. What I'm doing is just normal Christianity that any average born-again, spirit-filled Christian can do as far as casting out demons and healing the sick. But people do have those gifts, gifts of healing. I know some of the people in our ministry have the gift of healing and have the gift of tongues. But I'm just a very average Christian that's spirit-filled. But any of us can do this in His name. That's why I can teach in our ministry anybody, any Christian, and they come from all different churches around the metro that have gone through our training and become our team leaders. But you don't have to have any special gifts to do what I'm talking about, which is pretty neat, I think.
It's just the daily work of a Christian.
That's right.
Or it could be and should be just walking in that power.
Yes, in normal Christianity, not a special gift.
You know, Mark 16:15, and He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In My name shall they cast out demons, and shall they speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And I looked up also the word serpents there, and the serpents in 10:19, where it says authority to tread upon serpents. And those words mean an artful, malicious person, especially Satan. And scorpion is basically concealment, a watch, a scout, a sentry, is one of the meanings of it. And with perfectly fits a demon.
Yes, and in that flow, in Luke 10:17 to Luke 10:19, Jesus had sent like 70 out to do ministry, to cast out demons, heal the sick, and they came back and reported how the demons were subject and to them in the name of Jesus. They found that they could cast demons out in His name. And then in verse 18, Jesus is talking about Satan falling as lightning. So in context, it's very clear to see who the enemy is, which is referred to in Luke 10:19, where Jesus said that we should, it's in His name, of course, but we shall cast out evil spirits in His name, that we have all power. Maybe we can tread on these serpents and scorpions, which is the demonic realm. It's often referred to throughout the Bible that way, that it's also in the enemy, the demons out there.
Well, we have Dennis on the line. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi, Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Everett.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah,
you appreciate
bet.
It. I had asked Dennis to call in. Chris is on here with me. He's the host of the show. And I'd asked Dennis to call in to give a kind of a testimony on how he learned about deliverance or exorcisms and what he has seen, how he has seen it work to be practical in the body of Christ. Would you mind sharing that, Dennis?
I'd be happy to. So basically, I heard from some intercessors that I knew who had some experience with it and with Everett, and were people that I really respected. And they said, hey, you ought to go and you just go through the process and see if it helps you. And they just really highly recommended it. And I come from a background that is very Bible-focused, but not really focused on the supernatural as much. But I knew that there were all these things in the Bible, which I definitely believed, that indicated there was an enemy. And, you know, that I really needed to be aware of these things and consider them. So, kind of out of my background, I came more from the part of the church that would teach that a Christian can't, they would say, can't have a demon. And that's kind of where I started. So, as I came into the ministry, really, I love freedom, and I'm always looking for paradigms of freedom. And I just really appreciated the way that there's a focus on forgiveness. And, you know, really to me, it's much more about Jesus and much less about the enemy. The enemy doesn't, you know, the enemy didn't win. It doesn't have the power. We're victorious, but we get distracted and we believe a lie. And then these strongholds develop in our life where the enemy is allowed to operate. And actually, I kind of view that as the enemy's taking part in this disciplinary process where the Lord's disciplining those that he loves. But we do need to deal with it. It's a wake-up call when you see the enemy operating in your life. So as we deal with forgiveness and remove strongholds, and as we break soul ties, which is really, it's an evaluation of a relationship we have with another person. And when it's not of a godly nature, then we want to break all those relationships and take away any rights that we could be giving up by having a ungodly relationship where, say, we're holding bitterness towards someone or unforgiveness or you know, some sort of contempt or judgments. And we want to cancel all these judgments that we make. I know when I went through the deliverance process, I realized I'd made a lot of judgments about organizations, not just about specific people, that I really needed to cancel those because they were allowing anger and other results in my life because I had made judgments about organizations that, you know, like, say, certain government organizations or things like that, that were actually hurting me because I was walking in those in judgment. So, I don't know, what else do you want to ask?
Well, when you went through ministry, Dennis, how did you know you had some evil spirits? Did you feel them or have them? Did you yawn or cough or anything? Or what seemed to go on?
You know, I didn't experience as much of the supernatural manifestation that even when I've dealt with other people and done deliverance with them, even though people yawn with me and, you know, people express things, it's sometimes not as dramatic as some of the other deliverance ministers. I think I'm an extremely kind of introverted, logical personality, and the Holy Spirit puts me with other people that are that are like that, and who sometimes mm-hmm. don't, you know, we're all different gifts and different members of the body, and but we all need each other, and I guess how did I know I was helped? It was just by how much better I felt. So mm-hmm. for me,
and that's
as
not unusual. That's not unusual, actually, Dennis. We all experience people that are not very sensitive to the spirit world in terms of feeling spirits. I have them right along as well. First one I ever ran into like that, though, I thought nothing was happening. But but because I went on through the steps we learned to do, the report came back how that person was just as free as those that feel them moving around and yawning, coughing, or burping them out. So it's very true what you say. There's a certain number that don't seem to, feel much. But it isn't by feeling, rather it's by the word, as Christians speak it, of course.
Exactly. So if we forgave, like we need to forgive people, well, you're not going to necessarily feel it. You're just going to go through a process of talking with the Lord, forgiving them, canceling those rights you have, and asking the Lord to forgive them too and bless them. So, but you may not actually feel great in that process. But it's really the process. And then at the end of the process, you wind up at a different place. And yeah. So for me, it was that when I wound up at this different place, I realized I got free of some things. And yes. So, which was very consistent with what people who recommended it would have said, is you've got some things that you need to get free of. So go through this process and you'll be able to recognize some of them. And, it's really helpful to give them a name.
Are you comfortable, Dennis, are you comfortable in sharing some of the things you saw change in your life?
So I would say one of the big things I have dealt with has been pride. And, as far as, when you don't know what's wrong, it's really hard to deal with it. And this was just a good revelation. Kind of, it shined the light on some strongholds, and gave me a better understanding of them. And then,
Dennis, would you say that you were just hindered in your walk with the Lord? There was something holding you back. You didn't know what it was. And this process helped set you freer in your walk with the Lord?
Absolutely. I would agree with that. It did set me freer. Because as you go through, you have these strongholds that get built in your life, but you don't recognize when they happen. You're distracted in the moment, and you don't realize that you're, say, bitter towards someone, or that you haven't really been able to forgive someone. And because of those, the enemy gets a foothold, and that impacts your freedom. Once it's there, I mean, we all develop these blind spots, and the thing about them is you can't see them. So when you go through a deliverance process, you're working with someone, and you're both being spirit-led to go explore and find those strongholds. So when you start talking about things that happened in your life and whether or not you forgave people, during those times, or traumas, or moving from one state to the other, or whatever, you evaluate it with a new light, and you're working with somebody that's also spirit-led, and they're asking these insightful questions, and you discover these things that are impacting your freedom.
Well, is it your experience that it's difficult for things like that to hide out in the presence of the Holy Spirit?
Yes. And when you have a minister and the person being ministered to both in the presence of the Holy Spirit, both open for the revelation from the Holy Spirit, you've got all the two of you and the Holy Spirit really working together. And it makes it really hard for those things to hide out. And when we deal with things like that on our own, it's easy to not see those blind spots. which, you know, the other person's, you know, they're there to pick up on.
Maybe that's why we've been said, told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's something about being teamed up, and I think even Jesus sent people out two by two for a particular reason.
Well, I agree with that.
And another point that I might add, that the people I lost my train of thought. Well, I'll pick back up on it. Go ahead, Dennis.
Well, I thought that was
one of your most...
Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, what is one of your most memorable deliverance sessions? Something that sticks in your mind that may benefit our listeners out there? Something that the people
I
may be able to associate with and say, this is going on in my life.
It's the most memorable things are when people, they've identified something wrong that's tormenting them, and they think it's more of a, you know, a psychological or that kind of an issue, but they get into the root and they forgive somebody and they work, you know, they cancel these judgments that they're holding and they break these unrighteous relationships, and then they have this physical healing at the end of the session. Because that was actually the root of what's going on with them. So when somebody's moving their arm around and saying, I haven't been able, my shoulder hasn't moved like this, you know, for 8 years, or they're bending over and saying, this is the, you know, best my back, I haven't been able to do this for years. Those are the things where you just see this tangible change, and you know it's not just, you know that there's something deeper, and that really, you know, as they, I guess there have been some like that where people were really reluctant early on to ask for things or admit certain things are wrong, but as they get freedom in one area, they start opening up because they see that it works. So I've had people, you know, early on they say, no, this is really all that's bothering me. And 45 minutes later, they've already worked through several issues and gotten some freedom, and now they're really ready to share something because they're seeing a change, they're feeling a change, and they're realizing that it's a process that's leading them into freedom, and they want it. Even in that area that they didn't want to talk to you about at the start of the session.
Yes, and I remember the point I was going to make earlier, and that is that a lot of people are hesitant of laying everything on the table. We find the best minister for someone is a total stranger, and it's best not to even have a member of the family or a friend sitting in. A total stranger ministering is best because they will tend to open up. It's important to find out certain things because we wouldn't want to overlook praying over them. Well, Dennis, I'm sure you're like me, that when you minister, you find you're on a kind of a supernatural high after having God use the left like this.
I'm sorry, I just got distracted here.
Well, I'm just saying, you probably find yourself on a high after ministering to someone. I certainly
do. Oh, yeah.
Is that your experience?
Yes, definitely. So, you can't help but as you walk through the steps, you kind of refresh what you do. You go through the forgiveness and other processes, so you feel good from that, but you see the change in the other person, and you can't help but feel good just seeing somebody else get free. And and then you feel like you're giving people tools. They've been in a paradigm where it hasn't worked for them to figure out who the enemy is and be able to address the enemy and get the change. And they've come into this new paradigm where they've been able to put names to the enemy and the enemy agents and conceive of how the enemy is working better, but also conceive the power God has to address all of, you know, that he's given us, and the power of the Holy Spirit just to work in his body to bring the healing. And so they've been demonstrated this whole new paradigm where they're just more hopeful, because
yes,
it was so hard to figure out what to do when they were tormented before, but they kind of have a window to wait. If I'm being tormented, then, you know, there's actually, God knew this was going to happen, and he gave us a plan so that we could figure out how to be free and, you know, what to address and how to remove the legal rights that allowed the enemy to come in.
I think one of the biggest things is when you minister to somebody and then you realize, or they realize, that all of those thoughts that they've been battling for these years, some of them decades, may not have been their thoughts. That Satan was planting them there, however he does it. And a lot of things that they were battling, it wasn't them. It wasn't their spirit. You know, because a lot of people go through life as a Christian going, how can I call myself a Christian and still think this? How can I still call myself a Christian and still do this or act this way? Not realizing that they've got Satan influencing them in trying to distract them in everything that represents a Christian walk, and tormenting them from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed, and many of them are tormented with dreams. And when you see someone that realizes that that filth that was in their mind wasn't them, that's a freedom that you just can't explain.
Well, and to recognize that it is the enemy speaking, so many times people have thought it's either their own thoughts or maybe it's God speaking to them. And when it's actually coming from Satan with lies, negative things, do this or do that, or you're a failure, you'll never amount to anything, negative kinds of things coming into the person's head. So it's wonderful to find out the source of that, since most people, so many Christians, have no idea. The lady I work with today was telling me how she had heard things come into her head. Even her daughter had been told at one point that she'd gone out to get the mail, and a car was coming down the road, and she heard something in her head that said, now jump in front of the car. And, you know, what's amazing is some people will follow those voices, will follow those commands. We see that a lot with suicidal thoughts. And what's irritating is the enemy wins a certain number of them, because people, they don't have any idea what's really going on. So there's a great freedom that comes with knowledge, rather than, like Hosea 4:6, if people perish from lack of knowledge, the more we can learn to combat the enemy, the more we will prevail, praise God.
Amen. Well, Dennis, thank you for being on the program with us tonight. Would you like to add anything or say anything before we let you go?
That's a good question. Nothing comes to my mind. I just think it's, okay, one thing to add is just the body has such different gifting. I think deliverance has walked out very differently from one minister to the next, or from one person receiving deliverance to the next. But there are some things in the process that should be common across the process. And really that's, if somebody's hearing about an experience and it's just so foreign to them that they think that couldn't be, well, the process may not be like that for them. That the Lord may walk them through it in a little bit different way, and they may not experience some of the manifestations that other people experience. And but the freedom's there. So, you know, if somebody's thinking about, well, I know I'm distressed and in torment, but I can't conceive of some of these things I've heard. If you have an open mind and you go to see and you're testing it against the scripture, I think you'll find the process is very freeing. So that'll be it, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you, Dennis. Thanks, we appreciate it.
Bye, everybody.
And the point, bye-bye. See you, Dennis. How that point that he makes is so true, because every case is so different. We often, after the evening is over, the teams, we talk among ourselves on how that whoever we worked with was so different from what we had before. And it seems like we never have one that's just the same. Every case is different. The manifestations are different. May not be any manifestations, or if there are, they're different than what we've seen before. I guess that's maybe what makes it interesting, Chris.
Well, I think the Holy Spirit is in control, and you have people that are dealt with according to how the Lord may see that they need to be dealt with. And
yes.
When you have the deliverance minister trusting in the leading of the Holy Spirit, that's when you're going to be the most effective, because then you don't treat everybody like a cookie-cutter deliverance.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that you say every time that you go because you want to go down your list to make sure you and your flesh don't miss anything, but then there's things that the Lord may lead you into. And if people want to find out more about this list that we're talking about, they can go to deliveranceusa.com. And the ministry has some excellent tools on there, videos. You can actually take yourself through a self-deliverance, if you'd like to touch on that for just a little bit.
Yes, for people that are not able to get to Oklahoma City, it's free on our website. There's actually 4 hours of teaching and ministry on video that I'm on there leading people through, and the door closing prayers, 15 doors, we recognize the demons can come through to torment Christians, and so I have over the years put a prayer together that deals with those 15 doors, that not any one person would have them all open, but they would have some open, and so that prayer in an overall way covers the people in ministry, so we can get those doors shut. Well, that makes a huge difference in the actual ministry. In the beginning, 38 years ago, I didn't know to do that, and it was very hard. We still had levels of success, but today it's very low key. Seldom is there an outcry. It's just everyone sitting nice in their chairs. We spread around a church there on Monday nights when we do our weekly ministry session, and so it's pretty private that way. And people just sit there nicely and yawn, cough, or burp quite a bit. See that a lot, but they get free and they go home. And so it's pretty exciting. We've done those Monday meetings now 32 years. And, of course, the reason we keep doing them is because we keep seeing it work.
Now, I know that this subject, the subject of speaking in tongues and things like that, may make a lot of people uncomfortable. But being uncomfortable doesn't mean that it's not real and it's not of the Word of God. And the world out there has taken a lot of these gifts, a lot of these things that the Lord gave us to use, and has distorted them. And let me read to you 1 Corinthians 14:37. It says, if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of these things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord. But if any man is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues, but let all things be done decently and in order.
Yes, and that's especially referring to the gift of tongues, I think, where you're in a church and you would speak out. Paul
yes.
said not to speak out more than two or three times because it could get out of balance. But my prayer language is something I use every day because I've learned from the demons themselves that it hurts them. So that's another weapon of warfare that I use. And today I was speaking in tongues, ministering to the lady in Arizona on the telephone. And she told me later she received her tongues during the ministry. And I didn't even take her through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She started speaking in tongues herself. And that was exciting. Don't see that very often. Usually we have to take them through where they ask Jesus to baptize them in the Holy Spirit, and then they receive.
Well, how many people do you have scheduled for this coming Monday?
Well, I think we only have like five on the list so far, but of course it builds through the week. And we normally do about 15, you know, a dozen, 15. And we'll have that many ministers. So it averages out pretty good. We did over 700 exorcisms and physical healings last year.
Amen.
And it seems like a little bit of a time, a few each week, and it adds up.
Well, I want to thank you for being on with me again tonight, and I'll let you know that people out there that if they want to go to the website deliveranceusa.com, they can find a lot of information. You can send emails to ask questions. If you want to get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Mr. Cox, you can get that through Scriptures for America. You can go online and send in an order for that, or you can call the program or call the station or the ministry. And I want to thank everyone for being with us tonight and pray that you have a blessed week. Thank you, Pastor Cox.
Yes, and God bless everybody.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. It seems like every breath of hope has died. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn.